Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
The Big Ten Media Days get underway this week in Indianapolis, marking an unofficial start to the football season. We'll preview that and more coming up on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbert by in a couple of minutes. All right, Tom, here's my question for you. If in a like global crisis, global pandemic, everything gets moved to Indianapolis, why don't we just hold everything in Indianapolis to begin with?
I'm not going to argue with you, buddy. I think that's a fantastic idea. Yeah. Of course, that Big Ten football media day / luncheon for years, and then going back to 1972 when it began, has always been in Chicago. And this year, because of, I guess, social distancing concerns and COVID whatnot, they're having it at the Lucas Oil facility in Indianapolis starting Thursday and continuing Friday. And no luncheon for the public to attend, just media and players and coaches. So down and dirty function there. And, yeah, Purdue's day is Friday, so Jeff Brohm will be there. And three players, George Karloftis, David Bell, and Jackson Anthip will represent the old gold black down there.
No quarterback represented. It won't be Aiden O'Connell or Jack Plummer, who is the rep. What does that tell you? Probably nothing that you couldn't have assumed, and that assumption being that those two guys are going to battle it out for a few weeks before Purdue has a starter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I heard who was going to go down there. And I guess if you were to pick one of the two, everybody would assume, well, that's your guy, right? And the staff has been coy going back to spring football about, you know, making this a battle between, you know, Aiden O'Connell and Jack Plummer. So that's going to play out here in training camp for a second year in a row. One of the bigger storylines for the program as it heads towards training camp here, who's going to be that guy taking snaps? Of course, O'Connell won it last year, I think in a bit of an upset. Kyle, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe he wins it again.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting because, you know, a year ago it was part of this storyline a year ago was that O'Connell was the one that was healthy during yep. at least the first half of the offseason. And it's sort of reversed now, and I think that gave Aiden an edge going into training camp that he just didn't – I don't think he did anything to lessen that edge, to let, you know, Plummer back into it a little bit. So I think it'll be interesting with the roles reversed this year, whether that means that the winner of the job is reversed. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think, and I think you probably agree with me, that – ultimately, it doesn't maybe matter all that much that Purdue can win with either one of those two guys and that there are other issues about this Purdue team that are a lot more pressing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Both are proven capable of running the offense. I just think Aiden's ability to throw the football is not appreciably better than Plummer's, but I think better enough maybe to give him an edge. And you're right, there are bigger issues hanging over this program than just the quarterback position. You know, offensively, we could talk about the line. That's seemingly been an issue since you started covering the team, or we're covering the team, I should say. But defense, my friend, that's for me the biggest question for the 2021 Boilermakers, and that's the side of the ball I think that's going to ultimately decide the tail of this season and how successful it is. I mean, we've talked all offseason, Kyle, about the change on that side of the ball. Every assistant coach is new. The scheme is new, and the transfer additions have been multiple, I think seven transfers on that side of the ball too. So you're talking about wholesale coaching staff, multiple new players as well. So again, it's going to be fascinating to see how that side of the ball develops.
Yeah. It's interesting that it turns out to be a wholesale change on the defensive staff because I don't think that was necessarily Jeff Brohm's intention. I mean, obviously his intention was to make a change at the top of that defense. But some of the other moves, I think, sort of happened around that. But as it turns out, I mean, it's sort of a fresh start here for Purdue defensively, and it needed a fresh start.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Bob Diaco was let go and Greg Brown, the cornerback's coach, was let go. So those were, you know, Jeff Rom decisions. But Terrence Jameson, the defensive line coach, leaving for Illinois was unexpected. So was Anthony Poindexter, I think, leaving for Penn State for a similar role out there with James Franklin. I'll tell you what, I've been on record as saying I think the staff assembly has a lot of promise, beginning with Mark Hagan up front, coaching the line as a co-DC. Of course, Brad Lambert, the co-DC linebackers coach, is going to be the guy actually calling defenses on Saturday as well. And then, of course, Ron English in the back end working with the secondary. I tell you what, he's another guy with a lot of experience, has been the head coach before, too. So those are three sage coaches that are now on that side of the ball.
Yeah. Certainly you're going to be focused in on Purdue, I would imagine, talking a lot about that defense. There will be some pretty big Ten questions, too, that will get asked of the commissioner, I'm sure. And one of those I thought was interesting with some of the – this got a little bit of play last week in the Big 12, the idea that this season, if you cannot play, you will forfeit. Do you have any idea if there's been any chatter within the Big Ten about that, sort of the win or lose of every game? And if you're not ready to play, whether it be COVID, which would be the most likely scenario, that you're just going to have to forfeit the game?
No, I have not heard if that's the case yet in the Big Ten. I would not be surprised if that is indeed the case. There's not going to be that schedule flexibility, I think, and willingness to reschedule games that there was last year when everybody's in the midst of the pandemic. So I think they're just trying to create a sense of urgency to get people vaccinated. That seems to be the one pretty surefire way to keep your team on the field, just have as many of your players vaccinated as possible. But it will be interesting to see how the commissioner handles some of those questions. I imagine, Kyle, he's going to have to revisit last year and some of the decisions that he made. And then there's going to be a whole litany of name, image, and likeness questions, I'm sure, and transfer portal questions for players and coaches and the commissioner, too. So I think we all suspect those are going to be some of the bigger talking points when the Big Ten assembles here later this week.
Do you think the Big Ten will have answers for some of those things, whether it be, you know, like a COVID protocol? I mean, they didn't have answers at this time last year, right? At this time last year, we almost started the season, or at least started practice, and then stopped days later, and then it was just a total mess. Will the Big Ten actually be, you know, like, prepared to answer some of those questions? Will they be prepared to answer the question about whether games could be rescheduled this year, or are they just going to come out with a strong statement and say, no, or you got to play or you forfeit?
Well, I certainly hope they can anticipate the questions that are coming and try to play out all these scenarios that could possibly unfold this fall that are COVID-related. A lot of smart people in that office up there in suburban Chicago. So, again, I suspect they'll come well-prepared for any questions. I'm sure they've anticipated the questions. And, again, hopefully a policy is already in place and ready to enact. So, there's a lot of credibility on the line there, Kyle. We know the Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, he took a big hit first year on the job with some of the missteps and communication in particular among the schools. Again, some of the ugliness that got revealed there didn't do his rep any favors. And, again, I think they're going to all want to make sure they have things buttoned up and they're ready to go. They're prepared to answer any questions of that ilk should they come, and I'm sure they will come.
You're giving them a lot of credit, Tom, for being prepared this time around.
Like I said, hey, if two regular Joes like you and I are thinking of this, I hope those people with all that brain power up there are certainly ahead of our curve and figured it out too.
I would hope so, to say the least. I would hope so, but man, I with how the last year went, I just don't know. So the Big Ten West, Purdue will probably be running under the radar a little bit. They were sort of a dark horse pick for a lot of people last year. That has sort of worn off, at least, here in the weeks preceding the start of training camp.
Yeah, I think you're flying under the radar is a good way to put it. Not many people are thinking about Purdue at this point. Maybe that's a good thing. We all know it's easier to perform. And expectations are low, and you're sort of off everybody's radar. You're right. Wisconsin's going to be the pick for everybody to win that division. I think Iowa's going to be second, and then you can make a case for three or four teams after that. And then I think you have probably Purdue sixth and Illinois seventh. And, Purdue does have a lot of things for optimism. But I tell you what, Kyle, you've seen the stories. I've seen the stories. You look at the schedule. I look at the schedule. It's awfully daunting. Some people think it's maybe the toughest in America, if not at least one of the top five toughest schedules in America. So, again, they're going to have their work cut out for me if you believe all the schedule analysis that we've seen. And I know I've said to you, too, before that first game at home, you know, September 4th against Oregon State, my goodness, I mean, again, like I've said, you hate to overstate the importance of your season opener, but my gosh, this is a big one for Purdue. They've got to find out a way to beat the Beavers here. If that happens, I think Purdue should find itself in the postseason. If they lose, it could be very interesting, I think, as the rest of that schedule unfolds.
How's Purdue find itself every year in a situation where the first game you're like, Purdue's got to win this game, and it's, you know, it's against somebody that is at least competent and not, you know, complete trash that Purdue will thrash by 35 points? I mean, we
yeah,
said that
saw...
every year, right? I mean, Nevada, Northwestern, now Oregon
yeah.
State.
Yeah. You saw him play.
Mitchell Cupcake U. Got to have Cupcake U for game one.
Yeah,
Louisville, yeah.
I mean, yeah, with Lamar Jackson, no, nonetheless. Last year, of course, yeah. was Iowa under those strange circumstances, which Purdue actually won. But, yeah, give me East Timbuktu State in that opener, my friend. I don't care. You can make fun of me all you want. I want to go out there, and I want to thump my first opponent. I want some confidence. I want my fan base to get excited. I want to taste victory. Yeah, I may not be tested, but I still think, especially for a program like Purdue, you want to get some confidence going because I do think there's talent there. And Oregon State's a solid team, and they're not. It's like you're playing Oregon or Washington or USC, but they're still a competent program, very much like Purdue, so very much in the same stage of development as Purdue right now as well. And they think they can win too, just like the Boilermakers. So these are two programs that are almost mirror images of each other, and it's a type of program. If you're Purdue and you're at home, especially, you got to find a way to win.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom. Be sure to bring all the hard questions down there to Indianapolis. We know you'll ask the tough ones.
Will do, buddy. In your spirit, I will represent Kyle Charters.
There you go. All right, thanks, Tom.
You bet.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian, talk a little bit of basketball. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's Grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Homefield Apparel. Homefield makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian. We'll talk a little bit of recruiting, some basketball as well. Brian's road trips. I forgot last week I'm supposed to introduce you now as like Gentleman Brian Newbert. Is that right?
The distinguished will do nicely. Thank you.
The distinguished. there we go. I'll try to keep that in mind. So your road trip continues. Where were you this weekend? Cedar Point?
Cedar Point, yep.
Did you ride the rides there at Cedar Point? Yeah.
I did not. The weather was awful. Not that I would have rode the rides anyway, but there really wasn't a whole lot of window to do anything where it wasn't pouring. It was pretty brutal up there. I bet a lot of the teams that got free admission to Cedar Point for playing in that tournament couldn't get to go because of the weather. It was unfortunate.
It was not great. The basketball was good, though. I saw some highlights of Miles Colvin. At 6'5", he is a really athletic guy who's only 15, right? I mean, he could get bigger than he is. I mean, that clip that you put on Twitter with the block at one end and then the authoritative dunk at the other, I think is, a good highlight and a heck of a play, probably indicative a little bit of sort of his athleticism and how quickly he can move up and down the court at his size.
Yeah, it was also quite the business decision for the kid at the rim who didn't want anything to do with trying to get in his way, which I can't say I necessarily blame him, but it wasn't exactly the textbook definition of transition defense. But, he's a really good athlete. He's a really dynamic athlete. He's the sort of athlete Purdue doesn't often have. I mean, that's what I've said from the moment he committed, the moment Purdue started recruiting him, actually. Is that he's that big athletic wing who can get up, who can run. And, you know, he was – I don't know if he necessarily played great in the three games I saw this weekend, but he was definitely at his best when he was attacking the basket and putting pressure on the defense and putting pressure on the rim and all that kind of stuff. And I think that, you know, when he gets to the next level and he can kind of settle into a role where he doesn't have to, you know, handle the ball as much, doesn't have to necessarily score as much, and he can just kind of settle into a role that will highlight his athleticism more. I think that's kind of what matters most. But I also think he has the potential physically to be a big time defensive player. Now, a lot goes into that. You have to know how to play team defense. You have to really prepare yourself. You have to have a motor, all that stuff. And some of that stuff he'll probably have to grow into because I'm not necessarily sure he has to do that at this level. But he has all the physical gifts you would want for a player who could be a big-time wing defender.
Yeah. I think you probably said it before, but, you know, at that position, Purdue has had shooters. So you probably want to see him continue to develop as a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's capable of making shots. I've seen him do it. I've seen him shoot really well. But he's going to take a different shot in college, you know.
Yeah.
He's not going to have the ball in his hands as much. He's going to have to rely – he's going to have to be a functioning piece of offensive structure, you know, things like that. He's going to have to be ready to shoot, playing without the ball, you know, kind of stuff like that. And for both he and Cam Heidi both – I think it's really important that the athleticism they bring to that position at Purdue is complemented by shooting punch that, you know, won't represent any sort of drop-off from what Purdue has had there over the years. Now, comparing those guys to Dakota Mathias and Ryan Klein probably isn't fair because Mathias and Klein were elite at what they do, but this is also a higher caliber of athlete. So your value is going to lie elsewhere, too, but you also – want to make sure that you can still spread the floor and be really potent from three-point range because that's the game nowadays. And it's also where Purdue has had so much success offensively. And if they're going to continue to have bigs, they're going to want to get the ball inside too. The last thing you can do is have athletes out there who can't stretch the floor. So it's going to be really important for Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi to both be guys who can be pretty reliable from a three-point shooting perspective. And there's every reason to think they will be. It's just kind of something that they're going to have to prove at the next level, just like anybody else.
Just reading box scores, it seemed like Fletcher Loyer had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, in a couple of the games I watched, and the one game Indy Heat lost, he really struggled to make shots. But just watching the second half of their game yesterday, you know, he didn't shoot it great up until when he had to. In the final minute of regulation against Team Final, who's one of the elite teams on the EYBL, he made a game-tying three with a minute to go and a go-ahead three a little while later, and Indy Heat ended up losing in overtime. But those were really big shots in a really big environment. You know, LeBron James was there. That's what kind of environment you're playing in. You're playing against two guys in Team Finals front court who are going to be first-round picks one day probably, and all sorts of really high-end talent they're playing against. And, you know, he has been really good down there, you know, by and large, with the exception of the one game that I mentioned before where it was just kind of one of those games. I can't remember what he was, but he really struggled in that game, and that's very much unlike him. As I've said over and over and over again, he is an absolute elite shooter. If there's anybody better in the country than him at it, I'd like to see that player. Because I don't know if they exist. And if they do, they're not going to be in college very long, if they're going to college at all. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to make Purdue a better offensive basketball team from day one on campus. And I think he's a player Purdue fans are really, really going to like. Now, he has some limitations, obviously. You know, I don't know how much precedent there is for a player with his – body type, you know, being a really big-time player right away. But he is going to make Purdue a better offensive basketball team from day one because he's an elite shooter, he's a good passer, he's a good ball handler, he's just a really good all-around offensive player.
Let's talk a little bit of football recruiting because there is a big name in state who will make his decision this week. He says that's Joe Strickland, defensive end. Purdue, Indiana, and Stanford. This would be a pretty good get for Purdue if it turns out that Purdue gets him. He's a solid player that's been coveted by many.
Yeah, he's a national recruit. And, you know, if it weren't for COVID, if he'd gotten to go to a bunch of camps like last summer and maybe even this summer, I don't know if he would have done that or not in June with his official visits to take and all that stuff. But I think had he gone – to like SEC places for camps last summer, I think he would have had even more offers than he ended up with. You know, his dad played basketball at Auburn, and I think that, you know, some SEC people would have jumped in there had he been able to go to some camps in there, like I think he was planning to. But it has come down to Purdue, Indiana, and Stanford, as you said. My educated guess would be that he's probably staying closer to home, even though he's a really good student, and Stanford obviously is Stanford. I think this probably comes down to Purdue and Indiana. I think Purdue has done a good job recruiting him. I think Mark Hagan has really helped them after what seemed like a real potential problem in the fact that your whole defensive staff turned over right on top of him having to make a decision, basically. But I think Mark Hagan's hiring offset that. I think George Karloftis has taken an active role in his recruitment. He's laid a blueprint for Strickland at Purdue that I think he fits well into. His mother went to Purdue. He grew up a little bit of a Purdue – I don't want to say a Purdue fan because I don't know if he was like face paint guy or anything like that as a kid, but I think if he followed anybody, rooted for anybody, I think it was probably Purdue because his mother went to school when Drew Brees was at Purdue, and she herself is a fan, fan, however you want to term that. I don't want to overstate it. But you know, Indiana's got a lot of momentum right now. Obviously, they've had a couple of good seasons by their standards. They've gotten some in-state kids pretty excited about them, all that stuff. And, you know, they're a tough out right now for in-state kids. And, you know, it would be a bitter pill for Purdue here if he ends up going to Indiana. Yeah. But I wouldn't rule them out. I still think personally it'll probably be Purdue, but I'm not saying that with a tremendous amount of confidence.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email kyle@chartersteam.com. As we've listened to 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at A Hogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Had a big week with Big Ten Media Days later on in the week. Jeff Braum and company speaking to the media on Friday. Be sure to watch for Tom Dienhardt's coverage of that at goldandblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. And for Tom Dienhardt and Brian Dubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.